Bitcoin holders are finally starting to capitulate, including me. There are also spaces or places where I have started to capitulate, and I'm going to show you why I am capitulating, which coins I am capitulating on, and what I'm actually doing about it. And then just when you think it's time for everyone to capitulate, that's usually when the market moves. I'm going to show you why I think we actually may get the move this week, and I'm going to show you what direction of that move is going to be. And it's not what you think. Let me tell you, it's not what you think. So we've got a lot to do today. I also want to talk to you about two sectors of altcoins, which I think are going to move. One of them is AI. I'm going to show you what the other one is as well. So lots to do today. Let's go, guys. Day 75 of nothingness. No movement, just like little moves from Bitcoin and then downward moves from altcoins. And if you look at the altcoins specifically on the last month, it's not a pretty picture. I mean, there are some coins which have actually gone up, but in general, not a pretty picture if you're an altcoin holder. But this all may actually change today. I'm going to show you some indicators which may show us that this may change today or this week. We may get some kind of move in Bitcoin and maybe even some kind of move in altcoins. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I don't think that you should subscribe to this channel. And the reason why I don't think you should subscribe to the channel is because the more people that subscribe and the more people that you tell to subscribe to the channel, the more people there are that can actually win the banter bags. And the thing now with the banter bags is that they are actually getting quite heavy. So for those of you who don't know what the banter bags are, basically we get pre-market allocations of a whole lot of tokens and we put them into this thing called the banter bags, right? Sorry, is there something going on that I need to be made aware of? Good, thank you. So we take those pre-market allocations and we put them into the banter bags. Now, so we got like $1,000 of Trueflation, we got $1,000 of Vela, $1,000 of Orange, and all of these. And today we got another one. Today we got one called Cross the Ages. Now you can see that they put $1,000 into the banter bags. If you want to know who these guys have been developing for a long, long, long time. They call themselves a universe where apocalyptic fantasy meets futuristic sci-fi. They launched in 2020. Now, get this. They got 450 plus game downloads. They got 20 weeks of top one on the Apple apps. I think it's 450,000. 20,000 daily active users, 152,000 monthly active users, 35 million digital cards sold, 3.8 million NFTs minted, 19 million plus company revenue generated since 2022, 29 million secondary market, 350K trades, 240,000 followers. It's like a big, big, big project. Now, I know the founders here. They have been working at this since 2020. They've given us $1,000. They're launching this tomorrow, I think, on the 15th of May. When is the 15th? That's tomorrow, right? That's Wednesday. So they're launching this on Wednesday. They've got a whole lot of top tier exchange launches. I think Bybit is one of them. And they've given us $1,000 for the Banter bag. So if you want to win the Banter bags, you got to be subscribed to Banter. You got to be subscribed to Banter Plus. And you got to have an exchange with a crypto Banter exchange link. Otherwise, we can't pay you for it. So that is the banter bags out the way. Let me just get one public service announcement out the way before we go. I'll be going into the big alpha of the show. So remember, Sheldon's Sniper School starts tomorrow. And it's not really Sheldon's Sniper School because this time I'm actually joining him and we're going to be doing a school school together. It's the first one that we've been doing together. Now,
Asya, what if your portfolio is down 50% now? Okay, so sometimes I know it sucks in that sense of, you know, you're down 50%, but at the end of the day, you've missed the sale. And you're getting to a point where this thing in 2 weeks will be at the bottom for probably the best times ever to have investment entries in the market, and now you're looking to sell.
So I have two rules. You got to first decide whether you're trading or whether you're investing. Okay, if you're investing, then an investment is much longer than one cycle. You got to think about how long it took Bitcoin to get from $1 to $64,000, right? Like, just think about how many different hurdles it had to cross. Only four cycles later have we done a 64,000x on Bitcoin, right? Then you've got your trading portfolio. Either way, you should never be looking at price. I don't know if that even makes sense to you. Like, generally, honestly, what you should be doing is you should be looking at the chart, remove the price, put the stochastic RSI or the fear and greed, and trade with the stochastic RSI and the fear and greed, and don't even look at price.
So if you want to join myself and Sheldon, we start the cohort tomorrow. Let me show you where you get the link from before we get into the big alpha, because there's big alpha today on the show today. So if you want to join Sheldon and I tomorrow, you go to this show over here. Let me make this bigger so you can see.
Tony, honestly,
okay, so you go to
looking at the chart, remove the price.
Okay, wait, hold on, let's pause that. Okay, so you go to this, show over here. You go to this link over here. This is the link that's going to get you in. This link over here. You click on Sniper School and you register. You got to at least get your email in before one day from now. If you do that, you obviously, anyone that finishes Sheldon School does get Gummy, but also you'll learn how to trade with Sheldon. Now, guys, I'm telling you, this is your last chance. As you can see, you have one day to sign up to Sheldon's and my Sniper School. All right, with that out the way, the formalities are all out the way. Let's get the show on the road and talk about what's actually going on. And I know a lot of you are getting very, very, very frustrated with not a lot going on, because we are in day 75 of sideways action, nothingness. And what you're actually seeing is a capitulation. You're seeing a capitulation from Bitcoin holders. You're seeing a capitulation from altcoin holders. And I want to show you how this capitulation is actually manifesting itself, or how it's actually playing out. So a lot of people are talking about touching grass. They're all like, listen, it's time to touch grass, go and spend time with your families, etc., etc. In fact, so much so that the topic touch grass or touching grass has now spiked on all the social mediums. Imagine that. Imagine that that's where we are. That's the level of capitulation. A lot of people are now like trying to rationalize that, you know, maybe this was the top of the cycle. And people saying, you know, if you think this was the top of the cycle, then it's the shittiest bull run ever higher. You can kind of see that people are losing hope here. Even the on-chain data shows a clear deduction in during this market consolidation. Nearly all chains are down in TVL and volume. So nothing's actually happening on the markets. People are starting to like reason, or almost like say, look, you know, it's time for risk on is coming, probably when asset managers come back from summer break, kind of like capitulated and said, you know what, there's not going to be a move now. It's only going to happen in the summer when people actually come back. People are starting to look at these hopeful charts. You know, this is that chart, periods to make money. I don't know if you've ever seen this chart, but it's like, you'll only make money from 2032 to 2035, or let's go. So you'll make money from 2023 to 2026, but then you won't make money till 2032. Now, dude, just for the record, I do actually believe in this chart. But the funny thing is that people are actually turning to this chart for hope. And I do believe in this chart, but this is not all I want to be going on. People are like really grabbing at straws. Healthy spot premium with neutral to negative funding rates. Not much else you want to see during the mid-cycle chop, but spot will have to take it higher at some point. So again, like nothing happening. People pointing to the fact that we may be in capitulation here. Rect Capital says this month may be an unremarkable month of Bitcoin. Maybe even next month will be an unremarkable month for Bitcoin. We're running out of unremarkable months for Bitcoin before the parabolic phase begins. It's like, have to get through all these unremarkable months. I didn't even know unremarkable was a word, but okay, it is. Carl Chasse, Bitcoin's 24-hour spot inflows are 138 million. I mean, that's like reaching for straws. Like, we're looking for like volume in the Bitcoin price. That's reaching for straws. If I had to guess purely based on intuition, this right now feels very much like June 21. Structure-wise, very similar. Look at the wicks. This is like comparing it to like looking for like patterns in the data that don't actually exist. Talking about the fact that Bitcoin may be out of the post-halving danger zone. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. Like, we are at the point where people, like, there's no action on Twitter. It's quiet. People aren't looking at crypto prices anymore. We know that if you degens weren't farming Gummy on Banter Bubbles, half of you wouldn't even be there because you don't actually care about the price. You only care about the Bubbles airdrop and the Bubble staking, which launches on Wednesday, according to Josh, who's working on the smart contract audit. He has guaranteed us that the smart contract is launching on Wednesday and we'll be able to stake our Gummy on Wednesday. Hey, Josh. Correct. He said correct. What people forget, though, is how quickly the mood changes. I guarantee you that if Bitcoin pumps to 65,000 or 66,000, the altcoins start to feel like they're mooning. We all get the blood, flowing into our bags and into our faces. Someone says, study conviction, we're likely witnessing a time-based capitulation. Although we're still in a bull market, rather than shaking out the weak hands with violent dumps, they are shaken out through boredom. This market has done nothing but chop since March, aka nothing has changed, yet I see more and more fear, panic, and frustration every single day. This is the part of the cycle where there's no trading, no screen time, simply hold high conviction bags and reap the rewards later. That's how everybody's feeling. I said to you in the beginning of the sideways capitulation, the capitulation won't be a price-based capitulation. It will be a time-based capitulation. That is how most hands are going to be shaken out. It's a time-based capitulation. I've also capitulated. I've capitulated on one of my biggest bags. And I'm going to show you today why I am dumping that bag and why I'm moving on to other bags. I've capitulated. I'm going to show you which bag it is. You probably know what it is. Let me know in the chat if you think you know what this bag is that I've capitulated on and that I'm actually starting to sell. Anyway, the good news is that we may get some movement. I'm not promising that this sideways chop is going to be over, but I am promising that we're going to get some volatility this week. And up until like 5 minutes before the show, I thought the volatility was definitely going to be up. In other words, the price movements were going to be up. But when I started doing the research for the show, I realized, shit, one of the indicators has changed. One indicator has changed. And what for me was definitely an upward move, damn it, can be done. But I do think it's up. And I'll show you in a second what that move is. So why am I so hopeful? Why am I so hopeful? So the reason why I'm so hopeful is, remember, I'm looking at the stochastic RSI. And with the stochastic RSI, what I said is, what's going to happen is it's going to go below 20. The first one's going to go below 20. The second one's going to go below 20. We then have to wait for the yellow line to cross the white line. Now, you can see that in 2 days, the yellow line's going to cross the white line. You can see that in places where the yellow line crosses the white line, generally, that's the beginning of the turn in the market. So just look over here and then look over there. Look at that. Bang. You see where that big green candle is? When the yellow line crosses the white line. We can keep going back and you can see this again and again. Let's look at it again here. Bang. That's where the market started to turn. Let's go over here. Okay, so this is in a bear market, but you can see again, the yellow line crosses the white line. We're actually moving. We are 2 days away from this. We are 2 days away from this yellow line crossing the white line. Now, what happens in 2 days? I'll tell you what happens in 2 days. PPI and CPI. So PPI is producer price index. That actually happens tomorrow. So tomorrow we're getting PPI. It is tomorrow, right? It's May 14th. That's tomorrow. It's 1 day before Cross of the Ages. Okay, remember that. That's how you remember it. We are waiting for PPI. The more important thing is actually Wednesday. Because Wednesday we are getting CPI. Now, when it comes to CPI, this is like a big, 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 big thing. The reason why this is such a big thing, I'll tell you why it's such a big thing. The last two CPIs were above forecast. And that is what has sent the money, all the markets panicking, is the fact that both times, not only has inflation increased, but actually inflation has come in hotter than expected. I think the last three times actually. Here the forecast was 2.9, they got 3.1. Here the forecast was 3.1, they got 3.2. Here the forecast was 3.4, they got 3.5. What we need is we need inflation to come in under 3.4%. Now, generally, when we want inflation to come in under 3.4%, what we do is we go to the Cleveland Fed because they are so good at actually forecasting inflation. It's not like they have inside information or anything. They just, because they're part of the Fed, they just get it right most of the time. So, is it only 774 likes or is the like counter broken here? It looks to me like there's only 777 likes. Could it be? Or is the counter broken? Doesn't sound right. Phone YouTube. Yeah, touch grass. Too many people touching grass. So I go to the Cleveland Fed. I look at the Cleveland Fed. They're usually very good at forecasting the inflation. And then what do I get? Fuck. They're forecasting a higher CPI. They're forecasting 3.56. That's not good, bro. But hold on, that's not the right number. It's the April CPI numbers that are coming out in May. So they're forecasting 3.5. That's not good. That's not good because they're forecasting 3.5 and the market's forecasting 3.4. That could be really bad. So what we need is inflation to come down below 3.5. If we get a reading below 3.5 this week, it would make sense that this yellow line crosses the white line and we get a reading just below 3.5 or 3.0. We need a reading below 3.4. And the market responds. And then we get some kind of price movement. Now, the question is, can that price movement get us above this top of this range? No, probably not. Inflation alone cannot get us from 63 to 73. That's for sure. I don't think that can happen. But I do think that it can take us from this downward moving in the slope, this downward movement garbage market that we all hate, to an upward moving market. It can happen if we get a good CPI. Now, what you saw this morning is you saw the prices this morning going down all the way to 60,700. But then the market said, no. Remember, it's CPI week. It's CPI week this week. Now, what you'll also know about CPI is that the corrupt administration doesn't like the fact that there is high CPI on the election year. And they need a reason to change the CPI, to make the CPI look better. How do we make the CPI look better? Well, one trick that they can do is they can remove coffee prices from the CPI. And the reason why they can remove coffee prices from CPI is because coffee's gone up 78%. And they're kind of looking at coffee and saying, look, number one, Americans consume way too much coffee. But we know that. That's not the main thing. They're basically fueled by coffee, right? Problem is, coffee's gone up 78%. So what they do is they cheat the numbers. How do they cheat the numbers? They just say, take out the coffee that's gone up 78% from the CPI reading. Okay, but now the reality is that if you're in America and you're drinking coffee, then you're paying 78% more for your coffee. Then even if they take it out, it doesn't mean that you're not feeling that pain. It just means that the numbers look good on paper. Now, why do they want the numbers to look good on paper? Because they need an excuse to bring down interest rates before the elections. And the only way that they can get the Fed to bring down interest rates before the elections is change the way that inflation is read. Why change the way that inflation is read? So it feels like inflation's coming down. It doesn't feel like it to your pocket, but it feels like it when you look at the screen. You look at the screen, you go, oh my goodness, inflation's coming down. But then you go and celebrate, you buy yourself a coffee. And you buy the coffee and you don't have any more money in your wallet. You're like, but I thought you said inflation was coming down. It doesn't work like that. What they're doing is they're manipulating you by taking out the price of coffee, okay, to make you feel like there's no more inflation. And the reason why they're doing that is because the Biden administration are starting to realize that they are so fucked when it comes to this election. They don't know what to do. Even CNN, now bear in mind, CNN is the most left-wing, woke, like garbage news channel in the whole world, basically, right? Like that's what CNN is. And even they, even like the CNN guys are starting to worry. Listen to what Fareed Zakaria said. Now, I've put it on 1.25 speed because we don't have time to watch 5 minutes of content, but just listen.
As someone worried about the prospects of a second Trump term, I think it's best to be honest about reality. I understand that polls are not always accurate, but in general, they have tended to underestimate Donald Trump's support, not overestimate.
So you see, the reason generally polls are inaccurate, but they're inaccurate in underestimating Trump's thing. And the reason is because when they go to the polls and they say, hey, would you vote Trump? A lot of people are like embarrassed to say, yeah, I'd vote Trump, you know? So what they do is the polls are never in favor of Trump.
Now that there are many shy Biden voters in the country. The economy has been in a robust recovery for more than 2 years now, with unemployment hitting a 54-year low in 2023 and increasing only slightly since then. But Biden is getting little credit for it. The shift here is stark. On the question of who voters trust more to deal with the economy, Trump has a 22-point lead over Biden, according
to an
NBC.
So Trump, 22-point lead over Biden when it comes to who's going to be better on the economy.
Poll from January. This marks a 15-point bump for Trump compared to the same poll in 2020. Perhaps this is because inflation is a far more pervasive problem than unemployment, affecting all Americans every day. Perhaps it's because people's views on the economy now are largely derived from their broader attitudes towards the candidates. But whatever the reasons, it's a stunning reversal in the midst of a relentless stream of good economic news. On cultural issues, Biden and Democrats benefit from the opposition to the Republican Party's position on abortion. But on the other great cultural issue, immigration, Biden is 35 points behind Trump as to who would handle it better. And I do wonder whether abortion will be as large an issue in a presidential race, given that reversing Roe v. Wade threw the issue to state governments and legislatures and not the federal government. Perhaps the most worrying new trend for the Democrats is that far from being the more unified party, they are now bitterly divided over the war in Gaza. Bernie Sanders has said the eruption of pro-Palestinian protests could be Biden's Vietnam, and even invoked the specter of Lyndon Johnson choosing not to run for re-election in 1968 because of the opposition to that war. The analogy is far-fetched. America then was itself...
Okay, it doesn't matter. But long story short, Biden is getting destroyed by Trump in the polls. And at the same time, the Democrats are taking a hard line against crypto, right? Because of Elizabeth Warren's anti-crypto army and Gary Gensler and whatever else. Now, to me, I watch this and I just think about this. The ultimate revenge will be that crypto is the main reason or the deciding reason why the Democrats actually land up losing the election. And that, for me, will be the biggest fuck you to the Democrats to almost say, you know what, like, you could have treated crypto better. You are terrible people and you are corrupt, yes. Okay, but you could have been better to the crypto world. And then the Democrats that were actually sitting on the fence and thinking, I can't vote for Trump, wouldn't have been pushed off the fence to actually vote for Trump. So now, for me, when I watch this and I watch the polls, and like, I'm kind of like, I want to say neutral in this whole thing, but I'm not neutral. Because even though I don't live in the United States, I do live in a world where we need the US to adopt crypto. And right now, the Democrats have basically isolated all the crypto people. They basically said, look, if you're a crypto person, you have to wish for the demise of the Democrats. And that's why I said that the ultimate revenge for us will be that because of crypto, because of us, the Democrats would lose the election. And again, I'm saying to all our viewers, because I know that by now, even though some of you were a bit more left-wing, you're now a lot more right-wing. I don't care whether you hate Trump. I don't care whether you love Biden. If you love your financial freedom and you love crypto and you love this industry, no matter how much you hate Trump, you have to vote Trump. Unfortunately, that's just the way that it is. And I've said it to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are starting to come around. Anyway, regardless of all of that, let's forget about the election talk. I did notice that a lot of the money supply in the world is starting to go up. You can see that the liquidity in the world is starting to go up, and that's usually good for risk assets. And you can see that's pretty much happening everywhere. So you're looking at, like, in the US, you're looking at China, Japan. Basically, the liquidity, the M2 money supply, which is the liquidity, is really starting to go up, which is a good thing. That's a very, very, very good thing. It means that risk assets should actually start to rally. Anyway, I did mention to you that, you know, there is a capitulation going on. Most crypto holders are starting to capitulate because of the sideways movement. They weren't capitulating because the price just moved down, but they started to capitulate because the prices are moving sideways and sideways and sideways. And I've also capitulated. There's one of my bags, which, to be honest, I've been holding on to this bag for a long, long, long time. I always say, I'm not going to sell it. I held on to it because of emotion. And I finally made the decision today to actually dump the bag and to move on and to put the money into something that's going to give me real returns in this bull market. So let's talk about that bag. Did any of you guess what the bag is? It's not Gummy. Gummy is the one I'm holding on to because on Wednesday the staking begins. And then what are you guys going to do? On Wednesday you're all going to be scrambling to get Gummy. So what is it? What is the bag that I'm... how much delayed are these comments? About 20 seconds. Drum roll. What is it? Okay, if you said Ethereum, you're right. So I've capitulated on my Ethereum bag. I've been holding my Ethereum since $9. I mean, that's just after the ICO. I've been holding my Ethereum bag for a long time. I've staked it. I got eigenlayer points. I've done everything that you can do with ETH. But the truth is, I'm tired of holding ETH. I really am tired of holding ETH. And I'll show you why I'm tired of holding ETH. The first thing is, every time we say ETH is going to recover and it doesn't recover, it doesn't stage this miraculous recovery. You can see that, as Ben Cowan said, it's now hit what he calls the bull market support band. And usually when it goes below the bull market support band, it can go below the bull market support band for small periods of time, but not for long periods of time before it's a thing. Joe, that's not how you spell Ethereum. That's right. And that's not how you spell Ethereum, eh? Okay, so what you can see, a lot of people have been talking for a long time about how Ethereum is close to finding the bottom. The truth is, regardless of whether or not it's close to finding the bottom against Bitcoin or against the USDT, the truth is, my thesis on ETH actually matches the price movement on ETH. Here's my thesis on ETH. My thesis on ETH is that in a world where you actually do have fast layer ones that can settle directly onto a chain, why would you want to get into a whole lot of layer twos? And when I say that, I don't mean short term. I mean long term. Short term, you could argue that Ethereum is the most decentralized. You can also argue that Ethereum probably has the most TVL, right? So you can kind of go to Artemis and you can look at all the metrics and you can kind of say, look, the one thing that Ethereum does have going for it is the fact that it really does have a lot more TVL and it does have a whole lot more network effects. But the reality is that I kind of believe in what Ansem said about Ethereum, where he said something like, find me one thing that Ethereum does better than Solana. Okay, what does Ethereum do better than Solana? Other than the fact that ETH has more TVL, that ETH has more projects that were built on it because projects built on it when ETH actually started, I don't see any reason for more projects to continue to build a lot on ETH. And the price kind of shows the same thing. The price of ETH has basically been very much like a stablecoin. It didn't put in a new high when Bitcoin put in a new high. It just hasn't been performing. If you look at the ETH BTC chart, show you something. It's a sad chart, I'm warning you, if you're an ETH investor. I mean, if you look at it, it's the same place. The ETH BTC chart is the same place that it was on the 3rd of May 2021. And you can see that's actually broken down below the wedge. So now the market's starting to realize that there's not going to be an ETH ETF. The ETH ETF now is off the table. If you look at Poly Markets, there's a 15% chance of the ETH ETF being approved, which means that they're going to go into a lot of non-discussions with the SEC, but arguments with the SEC. They're going to get into legal arguments with the SEC and stuff like that. You can also see that since this EIP 4844, which makes it cheaper for the L2s, what you can see is that ETH has actually become inflationary, right? So you can see that now, instead of being deflationary, because of there's so few transactions on ETH, it's actually become deflationary. And even some of the biggest ETH bulls in the whole world, which are the bankless guys, right? They're also now asking a question, will the cycle skip Ethereum? I'm going to take the perspective of ETH long-term bulls, not the obvious wrong dyed in wool, Ethereum is dead haters. There's broadly two perspectives. This cycle will skip ETH. Why? Puberty is why. Ethereum is going through an awkward emo stage where it's trying out adulthood and the world doesn't understand. I mean, just read this shit. The big change is L2s. This is the first cycle. This is the first cycle Ethereum is basically telling you, nah, don't use ETH. We are too expensive. Okay? We're too expensive. But the good news is we've got 100 shiny new layer 2s. But you'll love it. Bridging, fragment, frustrate, repeat. But L2s are Ethereum. Yeah, yeah, I know the fullness of time. That's right. L2s are amazing. The best way to scale decentralization, Vitalik's vision. Don't tell me I've been mud-pulled since 2021. Guys, the truth is the market doesn't want to bridge. They don't want to work with a whole lot of layer 2s. They don't talk to each other. And so, yes, you can tell me that the ETH bull is coming. And you know what? I will agree that ETH will have a bull market. But the question is that when ETH has a bull market, will the bull market be as rampant as a Solana bull market or an Arweave bull market or a Near Protocol bull market or a Telegram bull market? And to me, I just don't see the same excitement. I just don't see the same reason to hold ETH other than safety. And the truth is that if I wanted safety, then I would have gone to Google, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft. That's if I wanted safety. I didn't come to crypto for safety. I came to crypto for life-changing returns. And since I think that this bull market is probably one of the last aggressive bull markets, I'm here for life-changing returns. And in getting life-changing returns, what I've got to be pretty critical and say, you know what? I ain't going to make the life-changing returns in Ethereum. I just ain't. So I'm going to put a big portion of my portfolio into Bitcoin. And then, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going balls to the wall. And I'm going to go all in on my Solana thesis. I'm going to go all in on my Arweave thesis. I'm going to go all in on my Near thesis, on my Telegram thesis. And that's what's going to give me all-out returns. Now, listen, if the market goes down, those tokens are going to go down way more than ETH. But I'm betting on the fact that it's a bull market. And if I'm betting on the fact that it's a bull market, I've got to go all in on the fact that it's a bull market. And if I'm all in on the fact that it's a bull market, then I've got to put my tokens into higher conviction plays that are going to do better in the bull market. And I'm going to stop holding on for ETH. I mean, just look at these dismal statistics. Daily transactions, look at the difference between ETH and Solana. Look at the difference between daily active addresses. DEX trading volume. Solana is now trumping Ethereum. You can see it's crossed it a few times, but again, Solana is not trusting Ethereum. Okay, Ethereum does win in TVL. Even in fees. Now, bear in mind, Ethereum charges 100 times more per transaction. Solana is almost generating the same amount of fees. Okay? This is where we're at. This is where we're at with ETH. So the truth is, I've got to stop being emotional about this, and I've got to start looking at this. And I've got to start looking and saying, look, if I look at the Sol ETH chart, If I look at the Sol ETH chart, by holding onto my ETH and not just putting it into Sol when I probably should have, which is around September 2023, I gave up 400%, 337%. And this chart goes on and on and on. I mean, I could show you, I don't even know if you can do a near ETH chart, but I think you can. Okay. Again, like, just remind me again, why am I holding ETH? Like, I'm not looking, I came to crypto looking for risk. And if I'm here looking for risk, then I must put the money onto risk. Calculated risk, of course, but I must put the money onto risk. So to me, I'm getting out of ETH and I'm putting it into the faster performing, higher performing blockchains. That's pretty much what I'm doing. What's the narrative for ETH now? Real question. The ETH supply is growing at a faster rate since the merge. Looked like the Denkun upgrade has made ETH inflationary again. I'm not an ETH hater. On the contrary, I started on ETH, but it's legit becoming a stablecoin now, and I see Sol continuing to take up market share and mind share. I mean, it is. It's exactly what Adeniyi said. He said, Sui Network and Solana are in different leagues, and that's on the L1. And so if I can get that performance on an L1, why get entangled into the world of why should I get entangled into the world of L2 to that L2 to spaghetti? Not interested in spaghetti anymore. I'm out of spaghetti. So what I recommend you do now, it's not financial advice, but you should switch your ETH into Sol. Okay, now there's a very simple way to do it. A lot of people say, oh, so how do I do it? Do I now go to the exchange and then do I use the exchange links, blah, blah, blah? No. It's much easier than that, right? Remember that I introduced you to an app called DBridge. So if you go here, I just want to show you how amazing DBridge is. So you go to DBridge. See this app here called DBridge? You click this app over here. What you will see is that this window over here will pop up. Okay? Now, what you can see is I have a wallet connected here. My MetaMask wallet is connected. And I want to just show you how easy it is to bridge money from ETH to Sol, okay? So let's say that I've got one Ethereum. So I specifically put in one ETH just to show you how this thing works. So what I do is I go here and I say, I want to move from the Ethereum network my one ETH. I won't do one ETH, I'll do 0.5. I'll leave 0.5 for another demo. I want to move 0.5 ETH and I want to swap it for... Should I swap it for Sol or should I swap it for, let's, and I want to swap it for Sol on the Sol network. Or I can even say, rather just get it to the Sol network for me. When it gets to the Sol network, put it into USDC on Sol. So you see how cool this is. I basically said, look, take half an ETH and send it to my Solana wallet. And when it arrives in my Solana wallet, I don't want it in Sol. I actually want it in USDC on Solana. Now it's asking me, okay, where must I send the Solana to? So let me just go to my Phantom wallet, and I created a demo account. So let me just switch off here so you guys don't, you can't see my password, but still. Okay, so let me show you. I created a demo account. Okay. So you can see I created a demo account over here. Here is the demo account. I'm going to just copy this address over here, Solana address from the Phantom wallet. And I'm going to just paste the Solana address over here. And it is... Okay, now basically... Okay, because I took so long, it's asking me just to confirm the new rate. Okay, so it took me too long, but let's... Okay, hold on, what's going on here? So let's say I want USDC... Oopsie. Okay, so I want to take half an ETH and I want to swap it to, let's say I want to put onto Sol on Solana. Okay, bang, confirm trade. I'm going to get 10 Sol. I'm signing the thing. Now just watch how quickly this is happening. Let me just quickly sign this transaction. Okay, I signed the transaction. Bang, it's asking me to put in my password just to confirm the transaction. I'll just show you that there it is. I'm confirming the transaction over here. Bang, confirmed. And now you will see that the transaction has been broadcast. And when I go to my Solana wallet in a few seconds, literally in a few seconds, I will actually have Solana in this wallet. So you'll see, we'll come back here in a few seconds and you will see that there is a, that there we go. I've only got half an ETH in my wallet here. And literally within a few seconds, you will have the Sol in the Sol wallet. That is how easy it is to bridge on DBridge. And remember, if you are bridging on DBridge, you're basically moving ETH or USDT on ETH, or anything you want from any chain to any chain. It takes a couple of seconds. At the same time, if you use this link, you're not only farming the DBridge airdrop, but you're also farming the Gummy airdrop. So for every transaction that you do, you'll earn points. You'll see your points here on the points table. You'll see that we have 73,154 points, which means airdrop points for you guys and for us. Okay, so that is my thesis on ETH. To be honest, I'm going to start trading out of my ETH thesis. I'm cleaning up my portfolio. I don't have time for bad coins. And to be honest, I've become quite vocal about the fact that I've lost my patience with a lot of coins. So yesterday I tweeted this, and I don't know how many of you saw this tweet. I said, I'm buying Sol, you're buying HBAR, I'm buying Arweave, you're buying XRP, I'm buying TON, you're buying ADA. We are not the same. Because I've basically come to a point now where I'm kind of saying, look, if you don't get my thesis, if you're not aligned with me, you're out of my bags. And the truth is, like, HBAR keep announcing partnerships. I've never seen any of those partnerships come to fruition. Okay. Never seen that ever. I'm not buying HBAR. I'm rather buying Solana, because I look at the metrics on Solana and I say, wow, look at these metrics. Wow. This is so amazing. Look at how good the metrics are. Look at Solana, highest daily transaction. Look at Solana, daily active addresses, very, very, very high. DEX trading volumes increasing. Okay, not good with TVL. I'm looking at the data. That is telling me XRP, like, if you really think that XRP is going to be the standard for CBDCs in the whole world today, good luck to you. But then me and you, we're not the same. Me and you, we're not the same. You should be watching BitBoy's channel if you think that, because he believes that. Then if you think, again, TON, I'm very happy with the conviction that I have on my bags. There's certain bags that I have. Here they are. I put them in here. Arweave, Solana, Telegram, Near, Arun, Sui, Phantom, Pendle, Based AI. Very, very, very happy with the bags that I've got. I've got very, very, very high conviction. I can see every time that there's a recovery, Telegram recovers, Render recovers, Arweave recovers, GMX is recovering, Solana is recovering. And the ones that aren't recovering are the ones where the market's basically said, Arbitrum, Ethereum, Cardano. It's time, guys. I'm getting rid of those things. Look at what happens if you would have bought Solana instead of Cardano. You give me the time period. From January. Let's go from January. From the 2nd of January. 800% difference. 800% difference. If you would have just bought Solana instead of Cardano. If you bought Solana instead of XRP. You got to stop holding on to these emotional bags. That's the only way, is to stop holding on to these high emotion garbage bags. Let's go to January. Oh, that's 22, 23. January, 23. Okay, 16th of January, 23. Here we go. Beginning of Jan, 23 is this candle over here. Okay, bang. If you would have bought Solana instead of XRP, you would have made yourself an extra 900%. It's time to drop the emotion. It's time to drop the emotion, get rid of the emotion, and start trading on actual things here. When it comes to conviction, I have big conviction in the Telegram ecosystem, because I think that now we've solved this blockchain layer one problem. I think they're all fast enough, or they're becoming fast enough. Makes me very happy to know that Telegram is the biggest investment that Pantera have ever made. We told you guys a Telegram from like $2. And now Pantera comes out and says it's the biggest bag that they've ever bought. It's the highest conviction play that they've ever had is actually Telegram. And they published that in their newsletter. So you can see that over there. USDT on Telegram is growing. There's the Notcoin launch. They say Notcoin's got a billion dollar market cap. And Notcoin, remember tap, that's launching, I think, pretty soon. That's launching pretty soon. Near Protocol also. 37% of Near Protocol users have stayed for a year, showing their loyalty to this protocol. I mean, the stats are just there. So as I said, the truth is I've capitulated on ETH. Time for me to move on, packing my bags, moving on, going to the high conviction bets that I've got. What are the high conviction bets? Honestly, Arweave, Telegram, Solana, Near, Sui, Rune. Those are my highest conviction bets at the moment. Cool, let's move on. Let's talk about other things. Top performing sectors, still meme coins. And it's actually not only meme coins in it's actually meme stocks. GameStop has started to surge because Roaring Kitty was the person that started the GameStop thing last time on Twitter at the Roaring Kitty. That's Roaring Kitty. Let's actually follow Roaring Kitty. He's back on Twitter. So GameStop starts to surge. And now Andrew Tate says, I'll buy $1 million USD worth of GameStop, 5,000 retweets. Now he's got 6,400 retweets. So there's going to have to be something like that. There could also be an AI narrative. Look out for it. Why? Because there's ChatGPT-5 coming out. There's NVIDIA earnings. There's Apple's new AI. So all of those things together can create an AI rally. Here is a spreadsheet of all the AI coins that we're watching. To be honest, you can watch as many coins as you want. In terms of buying, the ones that I'd buy, Render, Arweave, Akash, I would buy that. Let me just help you. Let me help you guys here. Oh, man, I hate it when they don't give me... Let me sign in quickly. Maybe I can actually edit this sheet for you guys. Sorry, today is all about straight talk, guys. You know, like, I'm not in the mood today we must just get to the point. So... Render, I like Render, but it's quite expensive. So I would say, you want to buy that. Let's color code them for you guys. Let's color code. Let's say, insert a row. Okay. Would run by? Question mark. Would run by? Too expensive. Too expensive. Render, maybe. I mean, you'll be fine there. Yes, highest conviction. Akash, yes. Eos, yes, high conviction. Nasana, no, I'm not buying Nasana anymore. Why? Because the team was supposed to get back to us. They kept dodging us. I don't like people that dodge us because it shows me their integrity and their credibility. So I'm not buying that one. Pocket Network, yes, but it's a long term. This is a very long term hold. So maybe here I would say maybe. I would say maybe. Maybe. Peak, but Peak's not really AI. It's a new chain which is launching, which is a deep end chain. But Tensor, no, would not be buying. But you know what I would be buying? Yes, Base.ai. For me, Base.ai right now is one of the best AI plays. Near, yes. Pal, not really buying it. I think there's too much going on here. These are the ones that I'd buy if I was playing the AI narrative, to be honest. It's in the spreadsheet. You can download the spreadsheet at the bottom of the show. Remember, we have two amazing AI sponsors. One of them is Type AI. The cool thing about Type AI is that you can see that what I've done here. Let's actually see that. So let's see if this actually works. So I've connected my wallet to the same wallet that I sent the Solana in here. So now let's tell it like this. Please. So this is, I'm talking to the Type.ai bot. And I don't know if Type.ai can actually go this far, but let's say... Please, you say please when you're talking to a bot. Let's say please buy three, let's see if it works. 3 Solana worth of gummy. It'll probably ask me for the contract. Let's see if it can do this. But what Type AI is, it helps you, it's a crypto AI. Let's actually find Gummy's token address. Let's go here and let's find Gummy's token address. Okay, so let me quickly get the token address. Here we go. Okay, copied. Now I go to type.ai. See, now my wallet's connected. Please buy 3 Sol worth of Gummy. Here is the contract address. Okay, let's see if it actually does it. I don't know if it can actually do it, but what I do know is that Type.ai is actually developing this large... Okay, the token Gummy is not currently supported for swapping on Solana. Okay, but no, that's... Yeah, maybe it doesn't work for direct swaps, but that's what Type AI is. The other sponsor that we have in the AI narrative is Humans AI. So that's the AI chain which is made... It's a chain made directly for AI. These guys have got amazing partnerships. Here they announced another one. Proud to have Humans AI CEO Sabindi invited to present and discuss AI innovation in a closed-door experts gathering at the esteemed Berkeley Innovation Forum at NASA. I mean, crazy, crazy stuff. These guys are actually doing cool stuff. Anyway, listen, I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll be in a better mood. Hopefully, I would have exchanged my Ethereum into Arweave and Solana. And again... do I think Ethereum is going to do well? I do think so, but I'm here to make a lot of money and I'm here to make it this cycle and I'm not here to play safe. So if you are here to play safe, don't do what I'm doing. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.